Can you imagine sitting on the mount up in the camping area at Mount Panorama without a sound going around the track because you're cheering on electric cars? Could we see electric cars taking the field as part of the Australian Touring Car Championship down the road? The reason I ask this is because for the first year, Jürgen Lundsmann has raced an electric vehicle against the field of petrol heads at the Targa West Motor Rally in Perth. And he won last weekend. The car topped the category of petrol-powered cars in the Targa West. Could we see electric cars racing around Mount Panorama in the not-too-distant future? James Ward from drive.com.au joins me now. Mate, are you shaking your head over this, or are you expecting it? Good morning.
Look, good morning. And I think, could you imagine that? You're up there on the mountain, and it's the whistle of the tyres and the air going past, and you know what? The very first V8 round I ever went to was at Phillip Island, and the sound of the cars coming towards you, there was the whistle of the air coming through them, but then you got the roar of that V8 engine going past. And it is part of the excitement. And we would have seen in Formula One with the engines becoming a lot less noisy, everybody sort of complaining that you're losing all the excitement. So then with electric sports, I just don't know. But do you know what? It is inevitable. We've seen Formula E, the support category for Formula One in races around the world. We've got some big names putting a lot of money behind that, and that's another single-driver, open-wheeler style series. So to see what we'll get in touring cars, I think it will happen. But for a bit of insight on the weekend, and
what happened on the weekend? Team. Because it was the only electric car in the field, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And it was a Tesla Model 3, and well done to the team. And it was a stage rally. So like the Targa Tasmania, Targa West, over in Western Australia, you need to be fast and accurate, but you can't exceed a certain speed. So there's a lot of, obviously, driver skill, navigation skill, and it's not just a matter of going flat out. But what I found quite interesting is, obviously, you know, when you're in an electric car, even a Tesla, they're very quick off the mark, but they chew a lot of power when you're at sustained high speed. Yeah. So these guys needed to fill up pretty regularly. So they had a bunch of trucks going around. One had big diesel genset on it. Another one had a battery on it. They had another electric car that itself would have needed to have been charged that was porting its power into the Tesla. So, you know, the whole let's strike environmentally friendly off the list here very quickly. This is not a greener way of doing motorsports. It's just an alternative way of motorsports. And you think about it, the instant torque that you get from an electric motor means that speed and that the power of your driveline is available to you right then and there. So in terms of what that could mean for motorsports, it's like we've seen in sports cars. You have no gap of response. You've got things that are fast everywhere. So it could make things more exciting, except for the noise.
Yeah. So off the mark, electric cars are very, very fast because the torque goes straight to the wheels. It doesn't go through a transmission. But I understand that when you get to speeds above 135 kilometres an hour, it chews through huge amounts of charge. Wind resistance goes up rapidly. So we're a long way from seeing these things race down Conrad Straight, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think for a race like that, so what we see in Formula E, the way that they were doing a sustained race series like that is the batteries, they're basically like your Makita drill, right? So you use your battery, it runs out, you clip it out, you click another one.
Yeah.
And so you've always got a spare battery on charge. So as part of that pit process that the race cars do, yeah, cool, they're checking your tyres, filling your water, and rather than filling you full of fuel, they will swap out the battery in a performance environment. So it is viable, it is doable. I think we're a couple of years away from seeing it here in Australia. Like even with the pickup of electric car sales at the moment, it is more than it ever has been, but it is still less than 1% of total car sales. So give us a few years, give us a chance to get that up into the mainstream. We'll see battery tech move on, and you never know. We might see the Duracell Commodore.
The Ever-Ready. Why not? Why not indeed? James Ward joins us from drive.com.au. Just very quickly, new trends in motoring. Have we seen, James, or are we about to see the end of the family four-door sedan? Recent sales figures show that SUVs are taking over that segment.
Look, it is, everything's an SUV. Sedans and wagons, you know, that were a mainstay of our roads not that long ago are basically all but dead. You know, you've got obviously Ford and Holden, where they were up there. And even if you take in the second runners of the Magna 380 and the Camry Avalon, there's none of that anymore. Camry is the only car that sells in reasonable numbers as a medium-sized car, mainly because it's so attractive to fleet buyers because it's so economical. The next highest selling medium-sized car in Australia for a long time was the Mercedes-Benz C-Class. So you've got a taxi and then you've got an executive sedan and kind of not much else. I think buyers like the size and it's the dream use of an SUV, that one day you're going to buy this thing and you can drive to Fraser Island or you could tow a boat. Whether you do it or not is immaterial. You feel that you can. And I think the appeal of that design is where we're seeing. But what we're seeing out of new stuff that's coming is kind of this crossover meld between what we know as a current SUV, which I think, you know, we always just call them four-wheel drives, and sedans. You're seeing a little bit more ride height, so they're a bit more compliant over bumps. They're easy for older people to get in and out of, but they're not as jacked up and they're not as big. So late this year, we will see the Kia EV6, which is a full electric Kia, and the Hyundai Ioniq 5 that we'll see. The Ioniq 5 is marketed as a medium-sized SUV, and I can assure you, it looks like a hatchback.
Yeah.
So I think the design and the approach is going to go through another change, and we'll see some interesting stuff. I want to see sedans and wagons come back. I'm a big wagon fan, but I think the horse has bolted.
Yeah, indeed. And haven't things changed? I mean, remember the day, James, when you and I were younger? Our younger listeners won't appreciate this, but a car with power steering, air conditioning and power windows was considered luxury plus. Have we seen the end of a manual?
Well, manual transmissions, wind-up windows, you know, they're nowhere anymore. And again, we're seeing so many brands phasing manual transmissions out of the Australian market because no one's buying them anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think that will go. I remember my dad came home, his car was in for a service and he got the service loan car, and it had power windows in the front, not in the back. Yeah. And my brother and I just thought, this is just like a spaceship. This was amazing. Whereas these days, you know, your most basic car has power everything. It's got remote locking. It's got Apple CarPlay. We've become very, very reliant on the basic necessities of technology and convenience that were once luxury.
So, remember when airbags were luxury, ABS brakes were only on luxury cars. Things are certainly moving along. James Ward, always an absolute pleasure, mate. Nice to talk to a fellow rev head. Drive.com.au. James, talk to you again soon.
Talk to you again soon, mate.
Love it, mate. Thank you, James. James Ward,
thank you.
Here on The Night Shift on Triple M.
This is The Night Shift.
Just said that.
The Night Shift on the Triple M Network.
Okay, we've got to get rid of this quickie. It's into day six today, which is ridiculous. I thought it would go off on day one. Come on, Chris, knock it over.
Blondie, call me.
How did you use the clues for that?
Well, one main clue I looked at is, I sort of like cheated a bit. I went and Googled, and the first site I looked at came track one, Blondie. That's where I forgot the other. The Monday, the first clue was Help Me or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. The album was American Gigolo.
Yeah.
You got the date right. But no.
Oh, damn.
Damn. Chris, you put some great thought into it. I'm sorry, buddy.
No worries.
Okay, Chris. Sorry. Gee, he had a good think about it. Steve, hello.
Hello, Luke.
Hello, Stephen.
go to the quickie, please.
Yeah, come on. He sounds confident, Jess. He sounds very confident.
You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC?
No.
Nah, didn't he?
Sorry, Stephen. Trent, good morning.
Good, mate. Good.
You sound really thrilled to be here, Trent.
Yeah, no, I've been on the phone for a while, but that's okay. No, look, I haven't heard much of the quickie all week, but I just got the clues, and I've just done a quick little bit.
Hang on, I'll give you another listen, because I want it to go today. There it is. What song is that? What's the artist? Go through the... Jess, are you with me, Jess?
Yeah. Did the clues help you at all, Trent?
I don't think the first one did.
Okay, what was the first one?
Head spin?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know where that came from, but I've got... Yeah, I did a little bit of cheating too, like Chris, and I Googled S1P1. And I did see there that it's a part of some of the court laws and how you could be charged under court law. The financially frustrated bit. And I just put it together with 1980 and left it out, and I came up with Standing on the Outside Looking In by Cold Chisel.
S1T1, a law term?
Yeah.
No, it was simpler than that. Just tell him.
Side one, track one. But hey, learn something new every day.
Well, that was the first thing I thought. Side one, track one.
From what album?
That's amazing.
From what album?
I think it would be East, wouldn't it?
Okay, Headspin. Was that your clue or my clue, Jess?
Headspin was yours.
Yeah. As I go walking down Bluewater Bay, I surface at the city at the end of the day. Whoa, I've got a bad case of the bends.
Ah, right. Got ya. Yep.
You with me?
Yep. Got you now.
Financially frustrated. He's standing outside looking in. He has a mate that knocked over a TAB. Yeah. But it's a song about a man who's frustrated financially, left out, standing on the outside. That was Jess's. That was genius, that one, Jess. That really... Congratulations.
You know what? It only took me about, honestly, less than a minute after doing my research, and then I just went 1980, and it came up 1980, and I just, I Googled S1T1 first.
And tell the folks again what you got with S1T1.
So there was a bit there when it says about some jurisdictions on the law and S1T1.
No.
It's something about like a misdemeanor or something like that.
That's amazing. We're not that smart. We're not that clever.
We are definitely not that clever. Geez, you should be listening to the ABC with highbrow shit like that. No, it was simply meant side one, track one. The album was East. Headspin, surface at the city at the end of the day, bad case of the bends. You have got it. Congratulations. You got yourself a Triple M T-shirt. Well done.
No, that's my goal of the year, knocked over.
You've done it very well. Would you like to introduce your song for us? Go.
Okay, this is Standing on the Outside Looking In by Cold Chisel on Triple M.
He's done well, Jess, hasn't he?
Pretty good. Pretty smart.
He made us look smarter than what we were.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Got it under a minute.
I'm standing.
So there you are. The quickie after 6 days. We got there. 133.53. So a brand new quickie coming up tomorrow.